Worship. Worship is a personal act, also done along with others, of like faith. Worship is not a spectator act. It's an active work, an action that we involve ourselves in. Basically, worship is defined as to show reverence to, show devotion, act piously towards, and to do service to. It's to be done reverently, with humility, and with sincerity. On the Lord's Day, we've gathered together on the first day of the week to sing praises and teaching. We pray, have prayers on our own behalf and on behalf of others. We partake of the Lord's Supper, which is we've just done, and in remembrance to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the sacrifice He made for all mankind and for us. We give our means on the first day of the week to support the Lord's work here at Gardner Lane. And preaching is done on this Lord's Day. It's very valuable. But so many times I think that people believe when they come to worship, all they want to do is hear what the preacher has to say. It's not the preacher, it's the word that's said. And yet this is a very valuable part of our service and our worship, but is no means the primary source of our worship. I think all of these things hold very dear and much merit to our worship to God. Sunday evening we come together again and basically do the same things. We sing, we pray. We give an opportunity to those who were unable to partake of the Lord's Supper of the morning hour to partake, and those who would like to give. We also, again, teach or preach or study at this time. Wednesday night service, we have Bible study. And also Sunday morning, I didn't have that included, but Sunday morning and Wednesday night, we have Bible studies. Wednesday night, we sing. We also pray and also have a short lesson at the end of this session. I firmly believe the Bible study class Sunday morning, the Bible study class Sunday night, or Wednesday night rather, have much value for our learning. I think that's when we get our most learning, when we can ask questions. And many times others can participate and give instruction, even what the teacher may not be able to give. It's very valuable. The Lord appointed elders in the churches. In the New Testament churches, elders were appointed. They were to oversee and be leaders of each individual congregation. Titus 1, verse 5 says, "For this reason I left you in Crete," Paul talking to Titus, "that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you." Acts 20 and verse 28 through 30. Paul tells the Ephesians elders to keep watch over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. The elders are instructed to watch themselves first of all, and then watch over the flock that they're doing the things they should be doing, and be ready to combat those who are trying to draw men away from Christians, away from their faith to themselves. Elders are to see that things are done in order. But let all things be done properly and in orderly manner. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse, or chapter 5, verse 2. Shepherd, they're instructed to shepherd, or the King James Version says, feed the flock of God among you. And also in Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders who have the rule over you, one translation says, and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Members are to obey the oversight of the elders, and in the judgments that they may have, as long as they're in compliance with God's will. And the elders have to understand that we will be held accountable for what we say and what we do and how we lead God's people. Commitments. Every day we make commitments to fulfill our responsibilities. We make personal commitments, financial commitments, commitments about our health, commitments about our education, our occupation, our family, and various other projects. And rightfully so. And many of these are God-given commitments that we must follow. The question I pose, what is our commitment to the service and the work at Gardner Lane? What is my commitment? What is your commitment? In our attendance, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We have responsibility to God to assemble and commemorate Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We have a responsibility to others to encourage, to stimulate each other to do good works. We have a responsibility to others. It's not, I said earlier that this is not a spectator act. It's something that we do together. And when we come to worship, it's not just coming to church. It's coming to worship our God. Sunday morning Bible study. Most time we have maybe a half that we have in attendance for the worship service. This morning when our Bible study class started, I think we had 15 in class. I don't know how many we ended up with. But my question is, where is our commitment to study in God's Word? Where is our commitment to support those who are trying to teach and those to help those that are trying to teach and also to do our teaching? I think there's nothing more exasperating to a teacher to come prepared, ready to teach, and in some cases, and especially in the smaller classes, nobody is there for them to teach. Not that the 15 that we started out with weren't worth teaching. or discussing and studying with? They were, by no means, and we're thankful for that. But it sure would be good not to interrupt classes and be able to have the full value of what's being taught there. I recommend, I don't know whether you would adhere to it, some do. I recommend that we make ourselves available to be at our Bible study and worship services 10 minutes before time starts. You know, we don't start in the middle of the night or early in the morning. Most of us that have been in the workforce start, the working day work start 6, 7, 8 o'clock. We start at 9:30 on Sunday morning. Are you committed? Sunday morning worships. Do we come and remember Christ each and every Lord's Day? Commemorate His death, burial, and resurrection. Wednesday night, we have Bible study again, or Sunday evening. Again, we come to worship. Wednesday night, can we learn more and understand and help others to understand and encourage by coming and taking part in these Bible study classes? In our small classes, I think I had counted that our members, we have about 15 young people in our classes. I don't know how many was in the classes this morning, that is, other than the auditorium, but there was far less than 15, I'm sure. Do we not care about teaching our children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of our God? Are we? We have other classes, other studies that the elders might arrange. Are you committed to be there? Where is our commitment to study and to show ourselves workers, not to be ashamed, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15? Are we committed to our singing service? Of course, we've tried to make some improvements. I hope there'll be improvements in our methods of having our songs posted. And so far, we've had good reports about people that feel it's beneficial. This is another thing that each individual has to participate in. This is our worship as members of the body here. This is part of our worship, our singing. As a song leader, I look out many times as leading singing. I'm easily distracted, so if I miss a verse or something, you have to understand that you might have been the one that distracted me. I see people doing everything except singing songs. This is our worship to God. It's important. It is essential. We go in back in the book of Revelation and find out how much singing is going to be done in heaven. But God likes our singing, wants our singing. Many examples in the New Testament, when Christians met, they sung a song. We find in the songs, well, let's just go to Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. You know, it's not just the preacher supposed to tell me I'm doing wrong. It's not the preacher only one to tell me that I need to do better. You know, we're supposed to be telling each other that. And not in a harsh way, but in a harmonious way in this case, that we might encourage each other to do more and to do what God expects us to do and how He expects us to do it. And in the same time, we're singing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. How important is that? Can you open your mouth so that those about you can hear what you're trying to encourage them with? Raise your voice. Of course, I've always been maybe criticized for being too loud. But what are we supposed to be doing? You know, how do you know what I'm saying if you can't hear me? Let's do this together. Also in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. How important is singing to our worship? I believe these passages says it's very important. Matthew 6, verses 21 through 22. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I will say, and I think maybe you ought to, would probably agree with me, where your strongest commitment is, there's where your heart is. Where your strongest commitment is, above family, above friends, above financial situations in our lives, where your strongest commitment is where your reward will come from. A true commitment to our God and our Christ will bring about an eternal home in heaven. Commitment to anything short of that will bring the reward that they have. And at the end of this life, those commitments of other things will be disappeared, have no value whatsoever, but will bring destruction to us. A true commitment will bring an eternal home in heaven. All other commitments, the rewards will vanish away. Where is your commitment? Where is my commitment? Is it to God? Is it to Christ? Are we ready to serve Him and show Him that we do love Him? Are we ready to sing praises to Him? Are we ready to study and learn more each and every day about how He wants us to live? I don't think any of us has all the answers yet. We study to grow. If we don't grow, then we will be weak, we will fall away, and no longer be in His graces, good graces. If you're here this morning and need to commit yourself to Christ and to be baptized into Him, to put on Christ and have your sins forgiven and be a part of the kingdom of Christ, or if you've fallen down on your commitments as a Christian and need to make corrections for this, certainly we invite you to come as we stand and sing.